So let's see the graph to your right hand side. Desired sale is sale that you could have achieved. On the other end, current sale is there, current portfolio based sale. So what? How do you bridge that gap? So there is a strategic gap which is there. How do you bridge that? So growing existing business, somehow you achieve higher growth from the existing business means it's an intensive growth. You will have to do market penetration, you will have to do market development, intensive growth. Second is the planning new business. So you get into the integrative business. So you now integrate few things and develop the new this thing. So that's a planning of a new business model. Terminating, downsizing existing business, even that yields you the desired many times the sale in the existing business or even the new business. When you somehow terminate something which is not really yielding you the required results. And so that is one of the thing. But now the most important is the next one and the last one, which is a diversification. So growth is possible from the existing business or the segment we have studied, gives you option to follow three strategies, which is what we have seen: integrated, intensive, integrative and diversification. Dispose of is one aspect. So this is the three this thing that we are going to cover: integration and diversification. So overall I am clubbing this into two: integration and diversification. Integration approach is backward integration, forward integration, horizontal integration. Backward integration is like you start manufacturing the raw material, so that's a backward integration. Forward integration is you start making the product which is made out of your existing final product. So you start making those product, which is a forward integration. Horizontal integration is within the same industry you start making other materials, yani, so that you achieve that horizontal integration. So that's about integration approach, which is both intensive and, you know, integrated. Now comes the diversification approach. It's a good opportunity where new product and new market, attractive industry, right product mix and right market will yield you the desired growth, maybe the multiplying effect on your sales growth. Concentric diversification, that is existing product line but maybe targeted a different customer. So there is again a concentric diversification. You continue with your existing product line but targeted at a different customers. So you attract new market or a new segment of customers to get that incremental sale. Horizontal integration, new product that is added could be related to your current customers. So new current customer will get something new from you, but unrelated to your current product line. They are not related to your current product line. So that's a horizontal integration that you achieve. That way you try to bring opportunity diversification into your company's growth strategy. Terminating, downsizing, as I mentioned, and also yields, companies many times have to harvest or prune or downsize the business which is not really yielding desired results to stay healthy and competitive. How it helps? It generates the resource, and what to divest that resource comes to you. It helps you to reduce the cost, unwarranted cost that is being incurred on them. Somewhere you have to factor in and recover weak business which requires too many resources, energy. Often it happens that weak business in fact takes more resources and time. Now that will be gone, yani. So you will be able to re-energize the existing new business, etc. So that's why this is also a good strategy. Third strategic approach is a GE matrix model. GE matrix model is known as an attractiveness and company strength matrix. The 9-cell grid, this is a 9-cell grid invented by the General Electric, that plots the company's existing strength vis-a-vis the industry attractiveness. Business units can be product, whole product line, a service, even a brand or alternative industries. So let's study this and how this business unit strength versus the industry attractiveness can be matched as a model. Here you see the 9-grid model, friends. Business unit strength and industry attractiveness is plotted on high, medium and low. So high business unit strength, medium unit strength, low business unit strength. Same way the industry attractiveness is high, medium, low. This has been plotted and there the strategic aspect is given. So industry attractiveness is measured by way of market size, postal factors analysis, Porter's 5-folds model. We will study this later. That's how the industry attractiveness may be assessed. Business unit strength, yani, how do you assess this? So market share, your brand equity that you have, margins that you are able to cover, distribution channel that you have, etc. So all those things will determine your business unit strength. Now there are 9 different blocks are there, but strategic these things are few. So consideration, as you see in the different color, something that you have to divest or harvest. Yani. So the one which is a low business unit strength versus low industry attractiveness means you don't die, you don't invest, you in fact divest and withdraw from that field. Same is the case with the low business unit strength and low industry attractiveness, and low business unit strength and the medium attractiveness. So that's how you divest and move out of such industry portfolios. One which is high business attractiveness and low industry attractiveness, you may hold for some time. You may hold or you may be selective. Same is the case with the medium business attractiveness and the medium industry attractiveness and low business strength and medium high business industry attractiveness. So you remain hold or you kind of really decide, be selective. And then there is another one, three grids on the top, wherein it is suggesting that you invest and grow. So you will attract, you will diversify or you will invest into industry which has a medium attractiveness, but unit strength may be also medium, or unit strength is high, industry attractiveness is high, unit strength is medium but industry attractiveness is high. So in these are the three grids you will invest. So you will capture those industry for your diversification. So industry attractiveness and business unit strengths are combined to give you 9 blocks in which 3 different kinds of strategic approach are possible. We have studied that strategy under GE matrix: grow and invest, have higher market share, promise higher returns, and in future so it should be invested in. Hold and selectivity is like ambiguous and should only be invested if there is money left over after investing in the profitable business. So only then invest into that grid which is written as hold and selective. Harvest or digest is the poor performing units in the unattractive industry end up in this section of the grid. This should only be invested in if there is any money left after considering all other grids in the GE matrix model. So that's how GE matrix model based on industry attractiveness and the business unit strength helps you to decide your strategy forward. Then fourth is the Porter's competitive forces strategy model. All previous models have not touched anything about the competitive forces, while competition is a given in any market. So this is the only model which takes into account the competition and then gives you the strategic direction. Yani. So competition, rivalry being at the center, how you go about. Yani. So you need to assess on one hand what is the buyer powers. Is buyer in a powerful state? Yani? Does buyer have number of choices? Does buyer have number of suppliers? Does buyer have a control on price? So what is the price elasticity of demand by the buyers, etc. So these are various factors that when studied that will give you the buyer power. Yani. On the other end, what is the supplier power? So how many number of suppliers, what are the size of supplier, what is their uniqueness, what is the strengths, yani, in the market, etc. What is the cost of changing, and if I have to move away from this supplier, what will I have to additionally increase? So now today, say like Indian manufacturers, auto manufacturers, or for that matter any manufacturers are facing this as a problem. Atmanirbhar Abhiyan, which has been floated by the Prime Minister, they need to look at alternative suppliers of the components other than a specific country. So now that is going to certainly involve the cost of change. They may not get the parts and this thing at the same price at what they used to get from one specific country. But yes, it will make you self-reliant. It will make you, probably country produces also those parts, or dependency on one country goes down. So these are some of the costs that you incur. So that's a supplier power. Threat of substitution. So is this product substitutable, or there is a more supplies of similar products available, or can buyer change his product, constituents and components, and still make the same product without using your products, etc. So then totally buyer will substitute this with some new product altogether. So what is that threat of substitution? That also needs to be factored out while you develop your competitive strategy. And last but not the least, threat of entry. So threat of new entry is like, what is the current power of the current suppliers? What is their technology strength, what is their innovativeness? So these are those factors which has been written out there that will give you an idea about threat of entry in a particular industry. Now evaluating all this, you will be able to project where you stand and how you reach there. So that Porter will give you a directive message, directive strategies as to what can you do to minimize the adverse impact of this, and then you still come into competitive mind frame and launch your product in the specific market. So that's a Porter's competitive forces model. Strategic countries considerations from the Porter's model, what we get out of it, yani. Three critical strategic thinking emerge. Analysis of the five forces to determine the sources of competitive advantage. When you do this, what will come out is an answer to the fact that what is your competitive advantage. The selection of one of the three possible positions will leverage the advantage. So what will leverage your advantage that will come to you? What is your value chain? So what will you build as your value chain that will create a differentiation in the market and give you the competitive advantage? So these three key findings, equipped with that, you will be able to develop a appropriate marketing strategy. So we have studied the fourth model. The strategic choices involved in Porter's thinking is decision about whether to compete for a share of the total market or for a specific target group. So what should be your focus of competition be? Whether to compete on cost ground or a product differentiation. So whether you will work on cost or whether you will work on product differentiation, creating a competitive advantage. So this is a strategic choice involved once you complete plotting of information as per the Porter's model. From there, the strategic generic strategies that has been proposed is the cost leadership, differentiation and focus. Cost leadership, as you always can understand, that you produce things so efficiently that you have a cost to your advantage that will enable you to be competitive in the market. Second is to create a unparalleled differentiation in the market, yani, so that value is created and therefore people pay for what you ask for. And focus, yani, create a focus, yani, be in the very focus group of product line, be in a focus group of market, and then sustain your presence for a long term by adopting required strategy. It could be penetration strategy, it could be economy pricing, whatever. So that's how Porter model helps you, friends. Fifth is strategic link to the position in the market. Yeah, that's the fifth model, in fact, though the number out giver is four. Be a leader, yeah, you are a market leader. So that's a strategy in itself, and the leader will have to drive the market, leader will be able to tap the market, leader will be able to exploit the market. So leader when starts creating more differentiation, leader when starts innovating, leader when starts challenging the others in the market, he will not only expand the market for others also and for himself also. And that's the strategy in itself, yani. While the challenger is to clear different strategy, challenger will have to at some point of the time challenge the leader, yani. So he cannot afford to be number two every time. So then that is the end in itself, yani. So challenger will have to at given point of time continue to strive to become a leader. So at any given point of time he has to challenge the leader. It could be on a technology front, it could be on the market front, it could be on the customer value front. Anywhere he challenges the leader and then tries to win over strategic advantage. Followers will always remain. They will follow the leader and the challenger. So whatever they do, they reduce price, or they will reduce price, they reduce advertising and marketing spend, they will also reduce. They will reduce volume because industry is shrinking, so they will also reduce volume. So they are those followers, generally follow one of the leader or one of the challenger, overall or both of them, kind of thing. The nicher, he is the one who smart Alex, and he finds out where the niche is all, and he knows that there are certain targeted groups. If he attracts them more now, he is going to survive. He is going to not only survive, later grow also and remain in market for long, while others may perish. So nicher will look for niche now. He will then identify the niche, where this niche is, how to reach them, then create a marcom, offer your product and service, and then tap the potential out of those niches. So this is a strategy linked to the market positions. There are strategies linked to, that is number six, linked to warfare. So war is the word which is therefore attached, and marketing warfare, here it is written as the marketing warfare. These strategies have come from the war strategies. So frontal attack, go and attack the weakest link of the enemy. So you go and have a head-on collision with the enemy, that is the leader maybe, or the other. But idea is like create a frontal attack, flanking attack. You are not frontal, but you are breaking the other aspects of the competition. So you are attacking from the left, right, etc., from maybe behind, etc. So you are trying to weaken the competition by attacking certain areas. Bypass attack, yani. So it's like, you know, you bypass certain areas, but you attack any one particular spot or one particular weak link of the customer competition and try to collapse him. Encirclement attack, yani. You will circle him from every direction. So all four P's are covered under that, and you will try to attack him on all those fronts, which is an encirclement attack. Guerrilla warfare, you will suddenly come, attack heavily, you will disappear. You will come, attack again heavily, you will disappear. So that's a guerrilla warfare. Generally, such players come heavily during festivals, during season, etc. Then they vanish. But while doing that, they definitely take share of pie, sufficient enough for them, damaging it to the competitive leader and the challengers. Yani. So that's a guerrilla warfare attack practice, as you say. So these are warfare practices that has been implemented in the marketing. So that's another strategic approach that you have that will enable you to decide how will you reach your milestone. That is what you have decided for. So strategies in brief, friends, strategies are both dynamic and interactive. They are dynamic, they are interactive in the sense whenever you implement, there will be reaction, partially planned and partially unplanned, in the sense you have to believe in it, yeah, and then move with it. And do the course correction as you move forward. Strategies are broad in their scope, yet keeps the focus on specific pathways. So none of this what I have described, say like flanking attack, guerrilla attack, they are broad in scope. Later on, you have to find a specific pathways as you move forward. Key aspects of marketing strategy is to keep the marketing consistent with companies or overcharging mission statements. So that's what is a subject matter in focus. Something that you keep doing, strategy is implemented to achieve what has been mentioned in the mission statement. So that's the strategy as a concept in brief for you, friends. Strategizing marketing mix. So where we are now is like we want to strategize marketing mix. Okay, it's not so complicated, but you must get this perspective. I have tried giving you where is the strategy in your marketing mix. When you read this, you will really understand that yeah, every aspects of marketing mix is a strategic. So when I come to product need analysis, competitive advantage, that is competitive parity or difference, technology absorption using PESTEL, strength, opportunity, weakness, you know, strength and opportunity, weakness and threats, etc., product life cycle, Boston Consulting Group, ends of diversification, product mix, these are all strategic aspects linked to the product, right, friends? Then you go to the price and a life cycle stage pricing, value based pricing, differentiation that you create, buyer power, pricing strategies, scheming, penetration, blah blah. So this way again strategic aspects and a place, channel strategy, channel level, single, multi, etc., cost of distribution to generate desired profit, again a strategic aspects, promotion, marketing strategy, types of promotion, primary promotion objectives. This is again a strategic aspect. So there is a strategy aspect in every P of marketing mix. So you must accept that strategic approach is an integral part of any marketing management, without which you cannot really achieve the success. Developing value chain, friends. How do you develop value chain? This is what organization, this is the overall internal organization value chain needs to be created. This is the picture in front of you. You create a value chain in your inbound logistics, you create a value in your outbound operations, or you create an outbound logistics. Even marketing and sales based value chain can be created, and service. Now these are all activity which involves the cost. On the other hand, you have to achieve the specific market. Now, when you combine harmoniously various initiatives in this, what will happen? There's a synergy will reduce the wastage, and then you will be able to offer a very a competitive, very value-driven proposition to the customer. So that's the beauty. Innovative activities within the inbound and outbound logistics can create value. Consequently, it gives you the competitive advantage. Detecting and evaluating linkage between the way one value activity is performed and the cost of performing that again, the trade-off that you may have to choose, etc., will create your competitive advantage. So internal value chain is very essential for to understand, to develop that value chain which can take you to the customers and create your competitive different advantage. Friends, what are the strategies, challenges of strategic marketing planning? Details given process. So it's a detail driven process. You cannot take anything in an ad hoc manner. Every strategic aspects in 4P we have seen requires detailing. It's a collective integrated process. It's not a standalone process anyway. Everyone, every aspect needs to be collectively looked at and integrated. So that's a collective process. Department lacks alignment. What happens many times, marketing is only taken as a marketing, sales will take himself as a sales, production will take himself as a production. Even within the department, you may see that zonal, regional level, there is a difference, so that alignment is missing. So that's a problem. Big picture is not clearly defined. Organization vision, mission is not actually bring out objective statements, etc. Not able to clearly bring out that big picture for the employees, and therefore they keep doing things which they think what they have understood it as, etc. Marketing objective is also not clear, so strategies are not clear, so they do it the way they think it's right, you know. So as a result, efforts go waste, and missing competitive perspective. Many times everything is done, but the competitive perspective is missed. So when you go to market with what has been done, you suddenly get hit hard by competition. So competition perspective must be part of your strategic marketing planning. So that's what is a challenge of strategic marketing planning. Lack of SWOT optimization. SWOT, as we have understood what it tells you, but from there, you really don't churn out yourself. So strategy needs to be leveraged, weakness needs to be developed, opportunity needs to be tapped, and threat needs to be minimized. If this is not done, somewhere you are going to get hit. So that's a challenge of a SMP that we have studied. What should be the strategy for the B2B and service marketing? So what is the marketing strategy as a concept in these two areas? B2B, you need understanding of the mutually, but proactiveness is emerging. So need understanding is mutual. You don't create product which is not required by the industry. So that's what I say, the need understanding is mutual, but proactiveness is also emerging. Now companies are innovating on its own. Earlier, if the motor idea gets a guy, you know, some idea to make the motor fire retarding or fire fighting or say fire preventive, he will go to industry and check. Now that's also not the case. Industries are constantly evaluating to improvise their product. Once they do it, they make industry absorb that. So industry will also discard the old product and then start absorbing new product. Price is not in your control, so you don't strategize anything on the price, but yes, you work on other piece. So that's a B2B. In service marketing, salient aspects and competitiveness marks the first 4P complex. So 4Ps we have studied, which is product, place, price and promotion. Other piece can be differentiated and create value. So there are other 4Ps also in the service marketing. People, process, physical evidence, etc. That needs to be differentiated and value needs to be created there. Then only you are able to succeed in your service marketing. So that's a strategic aspect of service marketing. So friends, this is a very interesting subject on strategic aspect of marketing we have studied. Thank you.